Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alverton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your Bible, go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, you know where you come from, man. That's an important piece of information. As you think about the pride that people often have in their hometown or where they're from. You know, you hear about it a lot in country songs. You know, I think it was Alan Jackson that sang, "Where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken," right? A lot of back porch picking, all that good stuff. And, I went back in my late high school days when I was trying to win Christy's heart. I listened to a lot of rap music, right? I don't know if she was impressed or not, but I had a lot of bump in the trunk. My 1978 black Cutlass Supreme, and listened to a lot of rap music. And a lot of those guys talked about where they are from. They talked a lot about the 213, which is like, it's like Los Angeles, right? Nate Dogg, Warren G. They said all the women knew what was up with 213, and that if you were a buster, they'd have to regulate. From the 213, would have to regulate. You know, it's something that we are proud of, to be from something special. Even if it's that backwoods, you know, podunk place that nobody's ever heard of. Because we're from there, we're proud to be from there, because that makes that place special. But it's often something that we wonder about as little kids as we're trying to figure this world out. One time, this little girl, she asked her daddy, "Daddy, where do people come from?" And the father answered, "Well, honey, thousands of years ago, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and then they grew up and had children, and then they grew up and had children, and on, until today, where we have a whole planet full of people." That's how. Girl asked her mother the same question, "Mommy, where do human beings come from?" And the mother answered, "Well, sweetie, you know, many, many, many millions of years ago, there were monkeys who, through chance mutations, evolved into human beings. That's where human beings come from." Well, as you might imagine, two completely different answers confused the little girl. And so she went back to her daddy and she said, "Daddy, I don't understand. You told me that human beings were created by God, and Mom said that we developed from monkeys." And the dad was, you know, he was shocked for a moment. He didn't know what to say. He just kind of felt like he was caught there. But he said, "Well, dear, I can see how that can be confusing. The answer is very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and Mama must have told you about her side of the family." So where you come from is a vitally important thing. In fact, it's one of life's biggest questions. We are beginning over the next 4 Sundays to be in a new series that we're calling Life's Biggest Questions. We'll look at the purpose question. We'll look at the morality question. And we'll look at the destination question. But today, we're going to look at the origins question. That's the title of today's message, the origins question. And here's today's task. We're going to answer this question: where did I come from? Where did I come from? Now, I submit to you that the origin question, it very well may be the most important question when we think about these life's biggest questions, because on this question of origins hangs so many biblical truths. And to answer this question this morning, I'm not going to grab a biology textbook. I'm going to grab the Bible, right? I'm going to pull out the Bible, which is the revealed word of God. You see, what the Bible says is 100% true, right? It's absolute truth without any mixture of error. Everything in it, it addresses, it is authoritative on. It's inerrant, it's infallible. It's the authoritative word of God. Such to the point that what God says, the Bible says. And what the Bible says, God says. So we don't turn to this question, we don't turn to observational science. Because observational science can never answer the question of origins. Let me say that again. Observational science, which is the scientific method that scientists and universities use all around the world and science teachers in high school use all around the world. Observational science can never answer the question of origins. But rather, today we turn to divine revelation where God tells us exactly where you and I come from. So I'm going to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. We're in Genesis chapter 1 is where we'll be today. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to grab verse 1. We're going to grab verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 26 and continue on reading. The Word of God says this, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now skip down to verse 26 with me. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them as food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come to this text, God, help us to wipe away any lies that have been lodged in our brains about where we come from. Your word is true, and we're going to stand on it. We are people not only of observation, God, we are people of revelation. And your Bible is the authority on which we stand. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your seat. In answering one of life's biggest questions, where did I come from? God tells us the true answer here in Genesis 1, right? And here it is. Here's the true answer. God created you in his image as male and female to have dominion over the earth. Let me say that again. That's the takeaway for this morning, or that's the answer to the task. God created you in his image as male and female to have dominion over the earth. That is the biblical and true answer to the question, where did I come from? So we're going to break that statement down as we work through the text. Take it bite by bite and piece by piece. First off, the first part of that, God created you. God created you. God not only created you, man, he created everything. He created everything. There is nothing in existence that God did not create. You see, before God created everything, there was only God. This earth and the matter that you see all throughout the universe is not eternal. It had a beginning point. But God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. And this God, this ever-existent God, brought into being everything that is. Genesis 1:1 says it this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's God's way of saying, in the beginning, God created everything. Right? Planets, stars, water, land, plants, angels, animals, and you. Everything owes its existence to God, our Creator. Everything that exists should give thanks and praise to God for its very being. Everything should, but especially you should. As I look over the congregation this morning, especially you. See, today we're not really talking about all of creation. Today we're talking about you and me. Where did I come from? And the answer is you came from God. God made you. Look at verse 27. Genesis 1, 27. So very clear. So God created man. God created man. man. When we look here at Genesis 1:1, it's like the overview of creation, right? We get all 6 days of creation where God works his way systematically through everything that he's going to create. And here we come to the sixth day, and he creates all the land-dwelling animals. And at the end of that sixth day, he creates the crown jewel of his creation. But here in Genesis 1, we get like that 30,000-foot view, right? The big picture of creation. But just in the next chapter, Genesis 2, God brings it down, right? He focuses in on the creation of humanity with specific details. Look at Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7 says this: "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living creature." Isn't that amazing? I mean, God went out and he literally picked up dirt and molded it, shaped it. And that's cool. I mean, we can do that, can't we? I mean, I used to do that all the time. I would take dirt and clay and mold it and make a little pottery and all this stuff. But then God did something that you and I could never do. He breathed the breath of life, the animating spirit, into Adam and made him a living being. Genesis 2:21 and 22 continues on. "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed it up in its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man." I mean, God here is good, right? Preachers often quote the Puritan Matthew Henry on God choosing the rib to take from Adam to make Eve. How many of y'all had a preacher at your wedding talk about that? That came from Matthew Henry, right? That was in my wedding. I remember that. Henry basically speculated that God didn't take a bone from the man's foot because he didn't want woman to be man's servant. He didn't take a bone from the man's head because God didn't want her to be man's master, but from his side so that she would be his companion, and even more so, the bone closest to his heart, because that he was supposed to love her with all of his heart. I mean, that sounds like good biblical reasoning to me. But whatever the symbolism of the rib there, plain and simple, God made you. Here's the takeaway that I think you and I should have knowing this truth, that God created you. Here's the takeaway: reject every notion that you are here by chance. Reject every notion that you are here by chance. Guys, that's what secular science wants you to believe. But secular science, a priori, even before they even get to the data, already decide beforehand, there is no God, there is no God, and so we can't include God in anything. And so they come and they try to come with conclusions that basically end up saying that we are here by chance. That somehow billions of years ago, the universe accidentally by chance leapt into existence. That accidentally by chance, some primordial sludge developed on planet Earth, and accidentally by chance, electricity struck that primordial sludge and life began to live in that sludge. And then accidentally by chance, that living sludge evolved into a higher form of life swimming in the sea. And then you get the pattern here, accidentally by chance, that this sea creature evolved even more so that it could walk on land. And then accidentally by chance, this amphibious creature kept evolving until on the way down the road came apes into existence. And then eventually, accidentally by chance, these apes evolved into human beings like you and me. Guys, that is a load of baloney. Not only does Scripture contradict this, but guys, true science, good science contradicts this. And not only does science contradict this, but mathematics contradicts this, right? I mean, evolutionists want to claim that something came from nothing, that everything came from nothing. But math tells us that nothing times something equals what? Nothing. Let's try this. 0 times 1 equals? All right, you guys are good. Let's get a little harder. 0 times 100 equals? Well, let's get, maybe the numbers aren't big enough. 0 times 1 million equals? Oh my goodness. All right. Zero times a billion. And a billion's got to get us there, right? Zero times a billion is?
Zero.
Guys, listen. Nothing times something is always nothing. It is scientifically and mathematically impossible for something to come from nothing. Chance. They always want to throw out chance. And billions of years. It doesn't matter how many billions of years you end up multiplying by zero. Chance can't produce anything. Therefore, you should reject every notion that you are here by chance. God created you. But second, as we work through the answer to one of life's biggest questions, where did I come from? We learn that God didn't just create you, but God created you in His image. In His image. This is very important, beloved. Very, very important. Genesis 1:26 tells us that you and every other human being are made in the image of God. Verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" Now, just a really quick side note. Why would the singular God speak in plurality there? God said, singular, God, singular, said, "Let us," plural, "make man in our image." Some would say, well, maybe he's talking to the angels here. But the scripture never says that you and I are made in the image of angels. Here's what God is doing here. God has given us an early clue to what's going to be eventually progressively revealed in scripture, that there is one God. Our God is a triune God, right? One God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, what we theologically call the Trinity, three persons in one God. So with this one God, there's plurality in the Godhead. The triune God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So beloved, you are made in the image of God. And that is said about no other creature. No other creature in the universe. Dogs are not made in the image of God. Horses are not made in the image of God. Cows, not made in the image of God. Cats are not made in the image of God, but you already knew that. I mean, nobody has to tell you that, right? Everybody already knows that about cats. But we could go on. Not even angels are made in the image of God. We could go on and on listing all these other creatures, but we would come to the same conclusion. None are made in the image of God except for human beings. That means that human beings are a special creation. God created you in His image. And as a takeaway, therefore, you and I must insist that you and every human being are naturally full of value and dignity. Let me say that again. This is in your notes. Insist that you and every human being are naturally full of value and dignity. I say to you this morning, that's why racism is such a sinful thing. That's why xenophobia, right, the hatred of people from other countries, is such a sinful thing. That's why sexism is such a sinful thing. To speak into some of the things that we are culturally experiencing right now, that's why homophobia and transphobia is such a sinful thing. Now listen to me, we shouldn't condone homosexuality or transgenderism because the Bible doesn't condone it, right? It doesn't support it. But we should never hate. We should never fear those who engage in homosexuality or transgenderism. The fact that we are all naturally full of value and dignity means that's why murder is such a sinful thing. Guys, when you murder, you are murdering an image bearer of God. That's why abortion, which, plain and simple, is a form of murder, is such a sinful thing. We could go on and on listing the ways that society manifests and diminishes and attacks the image of God in mankind. But every one of these, in some form or fashion, basically says that some human beings are less dignified, less valuable than others. And God's word says that is a lie. Every human being, right? Every human being, no matter where they are on the planet, no matter where they are in the course of their life, right? They are fully valuable and full of dignity. It's not something a person earns. It's something that is endowed upon us by our Creator at the moment we become a human being. Now that's important. It's endowed upon us at the moment we become a human being. So the question is, when do we become a human being? And the answer is, when? At birth? No! At conception. We must insist that every person, as I said a moment ago, at every location of the planet, at every stage of their life, is naturally full of value and dignity. God created you in His image. But third, as we work through the answer to one of life's biggest questions, where do I come from? We learn that God didn't just create you in His image. God created you as male and female. That's the third part of this bite. As we take a bite here, God created you in His image as male and female. Look at verse 27, Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Maleness and femaleness is part of the image of God. Just as there is plurality in the Godhead, there is plurality in humanity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the Godhead, in humanity, it's male and female. And this is a glorious thing. It's a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing. God made man and woman. And to use the language of modern gender studies, God made us binary. There are really only two options, a man and a woman. And when they join together, they manifest God's glory. But I don't have to tell you, man, society's confused on this. And it seems like they are getting more confused, right? Confuseder, if that's a word, right? They are getting more and more confused. It's getting worse and worse. And so here is the takeaway, right? We who are Christians, we know the truth of God is revealed in the Word of God. We who are Christians should celebrate and embrace masculinity and femininity. Celebrate and embrace masculinity and femininity. Now, feminists want to tell us that there is no difference between a man and a woman. That there's nothing really special about being a woman. And there's nothing really special. There's especially nothing special about being a man. Right? A woman can do whatever a man can do, and a woman should do whatever a man can. But I want to say this morning, feminism lies to us. And I'm so thankful for the backlash, the swing of the pendulum back, where we see godly women standing up and saying, God made me to be a woman, and I want to live in the fullness of what it means to be a woman, right? God made women to be special, and for men to be special, and for the two to complement one another, right? To complete each other. We need women to be women. We need men to be men. If humanity is going to experience the fullness of life, the fullness of God's blessings. But along with the feminists, we have homosexual activists who want to tell us that it's perfectly fine for a man to connect intimately with a man and for a woman to intimately connect with another woman. But again, they lie to us. They lie to us. Homosexuality is against creation, and it's an abomination to God. But probably the biggest thing in the news, it seems this is the next hurdle in the agenda, are the gender activists who tell us that biological sex and gender are not connected. Right? They want to tell us that a biological man can and should, if he feels like it, to act like a woman. But again, they lie to us, right? The Bible doesn't say that we get to choose if we are male or female. It says that God makes us male and female. And to choose to live as a gender opposite of your biological sex is to reject God's lordship over your life, right? We should celebrate. We should embrace masculinity and femininity as defined by the Bible. God created you in his image as male and female. Finally, as we work through the answer, the final bite that we're going to take this morning to life's biggest questions, one of life's biggest questions, where did I come from? We learn that God didn't just create you in his image as male and female, but that God created you in his image as male and female to have dominion over the earth. To have dominion over the earth. Now that gets to a bit of a purpose question. We're going to talk all about that next week. We'll come back next week and try to answer the purpose question. Why am I here? But I want to take just a moment to address it since it's here in the text. So God created you in his image as male and female to have dominion over the earth. I want you to listen for the dominion mandate in our text. I'm going to read our text again. I want you to see if you can pick out language that would be sort of classified as dominion language. Here's what it says, Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that's on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given you every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Did you hear any dominion language in there? I mean, we certainly heard. How many of you guys heard the word dominion in the text, right? It's right there. We can't get away from that word. It's there in the text, but it's not the only place. You also heard, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That is dominion language, right? You also heard the command to subdue the earth. Subdue is just a synonym for dominion, right? To dominate. And then finally is the invitation there in the text to use the resources of the earth. So here's the takeaway that you would take, I would hope you would take from this. It's this. You should steward the earth to make it a better place. Steward the earth to make it a better place. I think we would do good if we paid close attention to what God did after he created Adam. Genesis 2:8 says, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. I think this was God's way of saying, Adam, this is what I want you to do with the earth. I want you to take the wilderness and make it a garden, right? I want you to take all these things, right, and to steward them and to make the earth a better place, a more fruitful place, a more profitable place. And I planted a lot of gardens in my life. A lot of gardens over the years. And I've stewarded some of them really, really well. And then there are other times where I've had to come back and take a weed eater just to get in the row to where the row used to be, right? Well, I mean, I've had them just go wild on me. Didn't get in there enough, right? Listen, God wants us to take and to make an organized, well-groomed, manicured, maintained, cultivated garden of the earth. How many of you guys ever been to down there the big mansion in North Carolina? Biltmore. How many of y'all been to Biltmore? Man, that thing right there, that is a perfect picture of how God wants us to take the world and make it a better place. Listen to me. I know it's sort of popular on the Learning Channel, the History Channel, to have those documentaries, those pseudo-documentaries where they sort of try to show what the world would be like if man was never here, right? I mean, how the world would be a better place if humanity were just obliterated and the wilderness could just take over. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie, right? Right? God put us here to make this world a better place. The earth would never reach its full potential without us as human beings making it and stewarding it to be a better place. Beloved, we as God's image bearers, as representatives of God on earth, we are to rule and to reign on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean we're to devastate it. We're not to destroy it. We are to steward it. We are to make it a better place. We are to take the resources God has given us on this planet and use it for good. So I'll call you to steward the earth, to make it a better place. God created you in His image as male and female to have dominion over the earth. That's where you come from, beloved. You come from our glorious, creative, loving God. You're not here by chance. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the God who made you wants to know you. I mean, isn't that amazing? The God that made you wants to know you. You see, Scripture says, as we come toward the end here, Scripture says that God created you, but your sin has separated you from God. And if you have come here this morning still covered with your sin, you've never repented and believed on Jesus. You've never been washed white as snow by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God desires to know you. He desires to reconcile with you. He wants to know you. The God who made you loves you. And He sent Jesus Christ that He could know you and be reconciled with you. So I invite you this morning, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, I invite you to repent and believe in Jesus. And your life will change, I promise you. Here's my final prayer as the praise team comes. May your true origin story change every aspect of your life for good. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.